Yes, there we go. Put that to the side. Please put your hands together for the worship team again this morning. It was great to have Peter has joined us. It was fantastic. We also thank Stuart. It was really good seeing you up there. Well, up here, sorry. You know, and Noctule as well. And it's also good to see everybody. You know, that just the other day I was thinking on Thursday morning. You know, I was reflecting. Thursday was my birthday, and I was just reflecting on Thursday in the morning. You know, and one of the things I said, you know, God, I've never met anybody like you. You know, there's just something about God that there is no one that is like Him. You know, and I just was taking the time to reflect upon my life and where God has brought me from, and that's why I could say I just have never met anybody like you. You know how God is, you know, he thinks 4 or 5 steps ahead, you know, for our lives, and that all he wants is good things for our life. Yes, there will be pain along the way, but out of it all, you know, the plans that he has are not to harm us or to hurt us, but they're to give us a hope in the future. And I was very grateful for that. Now, it did help that I got gifts that I liked, you know. So it's always good to get gifts that you like. This morning, I guess, is also another, excuse me, an interesting, today is our story, our future. And this is where we look to give over and above our tithes. And this is what goes in to make sure that the facilities that we have continue to remain, and you know, we continue to be able to host people here, hire out the facility to other people to make more money, which is what we're doing. But also it gives an opportunity for us to, for these buildings to be an access point for people to come to know the Lord. And so this morning we were blessed by the worship team, and the reason why they're here is not just to sound good, but it's to provide the avenue so that at the end of the service, people can come into relationship with the Lord. Amen. There is just but one purpose for everything we do, right from the front desk to the kitchen to the audiovisual. Everything is done so that people can come into relationship with the Lord. That is the whole purpose that we're here. You know, and so the buildings are the things that gives people access to come here. The building is not the church. The people are the church. But the buildings are important. Because without a building, imagine if we didn't own our own building, we'd be having to pack up and set up every Sunday. And so if you think we're doing a lot of work now, it was worse off before. And so we're very grateful, and we thank God for just that opportunity to have our own buildings. And so what I would like to do is that before I go on, I just want to give a reflection of how we went over the last 12 months, our story, our future 2021. And so if we can play the PowerPoint, thank you very much. Nothing? It's not coming up? Sorry? Huh? Sir? Oh, oh my goodness. All right, you're going to have to trust me. Okay, so, and I'm taking this off, I'm going off my memory here. So, last year, when we took up our offering of our story, our future, everybody pledged, and so everybody signed a card similar to this one last year. And on that card, what we pledged, this is for both locations, Fremantle and Wellard, was $55,000 was what was pledged, which, based on how last year was, that was a fantastic thing for people to pledge that amount of money. And so what we were able to, what has been received as of last week, Tuesday, was $45,000, you know, and that is just absolutely fantastic. And so I want to thank you for your faithfulness and your generosity. Because so many things were happening last year, you know, everybody, The world was being turned upside down. People were uncertain about their jobs. And so for people to pledge that amount and be faithful, I really want to thank you. And I know that Pastor Nigel and Andrea thank you as well. And so what we did with, and so to date, so we got $45,000 came in. We spent $31,000, and then $124. So $31,124. And I'm an accountant, you know, so I'm okay with numbers. And so the other key thing, you know, that was important is that what did we do with that money? So of that $31,000, we have somebody who does our maintenance for 2 days a week. So that's what that paid for. It also paid for the new air conditioners in the kids' zone. It paid for the painting and refurbishment of the foyer area in Fremantle. And then it paid for some plumbing repairs and some... Oh, here we go. I was out. It's $31,194. I was out by $70. Okay, so I was out by $70. So you can see painting for the church entrance in Frio, the installation of the air cons, roof repairs and maintenance for the wages. If we go to the next one, can we just go back to slide number 3? Let's start from the... Okay, good. Number 3, thank you. So you can see I went to great lengths to try and paint a picture there of different people. Of what we did, there were 33 salvations from both campuses last year. And I think that is something that is very important, and I would be hoping you'd be clapping by now. So you see the black guy there with the yellow glasses? You know, I try to make it as multicultural as possible. So if we go to the next one. So after that, next one, sorry. So this is our buildings, which is this one in Wellard and Fremantle, are both valued at $5.2 million. The loan balance that we have is $2.274. So essentially, we got 43% equity in the building, so which is a fantastic thing. So we only owe $2.2 million, and I bet you after this, one of you is just going to write a check for $2.2 million, and we'll pay it off. Yep, and it's all sorted. The good thing, though, is that our target, what we would like to do this year especially, is that in and amongst all that we're doing, we want to attack our mortgage and hopefully through our story, our future, pay it down by an additional $30,000. And I know that we already paid the mortgage because our church owns, there's a childcare that's next to the church in Fremantle. We own that. And so from the rentals that we get, it helps us pay the mortgage down even more. But what we want to do is through our story, our future, is to pay an extra $30,000 off the loan balance. And so for next, this is the way it gets interesting. For this coming, for our story, our future 2021, we would like to, so at the moment, we're sitting at zero because nobody's pledged anything. But what we would like to do is, obviously, as I said, payment of the wages, general repairs and maintenance, because you know that if you own something, stuff always breaks down. We want to install air conditioners at the C3 Wellard foyer so that during winter, you know, when it gets cold because it's cement floors, we can sort of like try and heat the place up so that people can be a bit more comfortable out there. And then we want to do some upgrades to our AV. And then, of course, the continuance of the maintenance wage for 2 days a week. And so that's the proposed target areas for 2021. And so on the 21st of March, which is in 3 weeks' time, everybody's going to receive a card today where you can go away and think about what it is that you would like to give over and above. And what I want to stress is that if you just go to slide number 1, it would have been so much better, and I thank them for this. The first one? Yeah, that one. All those people in those, they're moving. It's actually moving, but unfortunately, it's a static at the moment. But But the reason why I chose this picture was that to show that the buildings are an access point for people to come and hear the message of Jesus Christ so that their lives will be turned around, because we are all evidence that when you put your faith in Christ, things happen in your life, things change in your life. And so that's what this is all about. It's about ensuring that going forward into the future, that other people will get to hear the message of Jesus Christ and to give their lives to him. And so thank you very much. Thank you for that summation. And once again, I thank you for your faithfulness. And I thank God for being faithful to you, but also for giving, because that is an important thing. So I've got at least 10 or so minutes just to bring some encouragement to you this morning about our story, our future. Matthew 6, verses 9 to 21. New Living Translation, please. Okay, I'll read from mine. It says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." And to give you some historical explanation of this text is, at the time that Jesus spoke this, fine clothing was a big thing. You know, if you had good clothing, that was a really good thing. But the problem, though, is that there were moths that would eat your clothing if you were not careful. So if you're somebody that liked fashion and you put all your money into your clothing, one day you would wake up and moths would get to your clothes and you'd be in big trouble. You'd have holes in your clothes. You know, fast forward in 2020, if you wear clothes with holes, that's seen as fashionable. But back in those days, that was not fashionable at all. And also, you know, where it says that, and it talks about rust here. Now, in those days, things like iron, if you had any tools that were made out of iron, it would be seen as, geez, you're rich, you can do stuff. But we know that iron can rust, you know. And so imagine if you had put all your wealth into the clothing and into your tools, your iron tools. They were all susceptible to damage. And so this is what Christ is saying when he was speaking to that crowd, that be careful where you put your treasure. And for us, we don't necessarily have an issue with moths and with rust. We've got other stuff. We've got electronic gadgets. We've got phones. We've got TVs. We've got vehicles. We've got share portfolios. All those things are great, by the way. There's nothing wrong with them. The only problem, though, is that if we put our faith and our trust in them, that is where our focus is going to go. And I was really encouraged this morning when my brother was talking about, you know, loving the church, and if you love your football team, you'll buy the merchandise. And I was like, ooh, he must have heard from the Lord as well. So, you know, so where is your treasure this morning? Where is your treasure? And so there's a treasure principle here, because we know that treasure transforms. You know, in where you give your money, your heart will be also. And I quote this, Randy Alcorn, in his book, The Treasure Principle, describes giving as an act of worship. He says, as sure as the compass needle follows north, your heart will follow your treasure. You see, money changes the heart more than the heart decides how to handle money. And the good thing that Jesus was trying to point out is not that you tend to put your money into things that matter to you, but the possessions you own will change you so that you will care about them more than about other things. So what Christ is saying, choose carefully what you own, for you inevitably begin to value and to protect it. And so this is why it's very important that when the treasure transforms us, is that if I love something, I will give my all to it. You know, I love, maybe that's not a really good word, I like Manchester City Football Club. You know, I don't wake up all the time to watch them, but I generally do as a good faithful supporter. I sometimes buy the jerseys. But you will see that there are some people who love their football teams. It's either they're wearing a West Coast Eagles jersey, they've got West Coast Eagles scarves at the front of their cars, they've got the flag, some of them have got the flag outside their house, and so they go all out. If you want to see people who are really passionate, you need to go to a football match and see how people are passionate, and they will give of everything that they have towards their football club. How much more us, the people of faith, are to ensure that whatever we do, we are doing it so that we're not storing treasures here on earth where moth and rust will get to, but we are storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven where those things don't have the ability to get to. That is where our trust needs to be. That is where our focus needs to be. Because if that is our focus, then naturally what's going to happen is that all we do is going to move in the direction of where our focus is. So the building, like I said earlier, is just an access point. It's an access point for people to come and to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It is for people to come and to experience the same things that you experienced when you gave your life to the Lord. And so it's very encouraging to note that, you know, out of the 33 salvations, 18 salvations in Fremantle, 15 in Wellard. You know, and I tried to put 33 people out there. I think I put 32, couldn't add up there, but that is what it's all about people coming to an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we don't have that focus, this then just becomes a social club that is inward focused, that is just looking after its members so that its members are happy and they couldn't care less about anybody else that is not a member. But we're not like that, because the mandate that we've been given is that Christ himself came and died for us. And that is the example that we live after, is that we die to self so that the life of Christ may begin to rise within us. And that God is a generous God. And so our DNA is that we are a generous church that is outward focused, that is constantly looking for people that are going to come in and add on to the house of God. So the church is for those who are to come. We thank you for being here. You know, it's great that you come every Sunday. But in as much as, you know, it's not necessarily about us, it's about for those who are to come. And so, I'll just get the band to come up. I want to tell you a story about my grandparents. My grandparents were working, my grandfather worked for the National Oil Company of Zimbabwe. And one year they were transferred to a border town between Zambia and Zimbabwe. And this border town, Zambia and Zimbabwe, you know, obviously share a border, but they're divided by the Zambezi River. And that river, it was just a river that flows, and it divides the two countries. And so when they were sent there, they were sent to work there in probably 1988. Yeah, 1988. And when they arrived in that place, they found out that there was no church that was meeting there. And so what they did is that they started a small, like, connect group. They used to meet at the, at the police camp. Because normally what they would do is that for all services, you know, like these services that government provides, they would have a camp where their workers would stay there. And they used to have this enclosure, you know, it was open at the front, but it had a roof over their heads. And they would meet there, and they would also meet in an open area near another, like, suburb, near another, you know, place where dwellings were, an area where there were shanty towns, you know, where, because it's a transient place, there's lots of people trading, going back and forth. And so the government had not yet built proper houses, And so people just erect shanty towns like a squatter camp. And so they would hold the church outside, and during holidays I would go there, and I would, you know, forcibly attend church as well. And so would be there outside. And my grandfather noticed then that the children there were traveling far to go to school. And so he decided to get the men of the town and say, guys, why don't we think of starting a school? And what they said to him, you know, listen, this, because my grandfather was here 2 years ago, but he left and went back home. And they said, they started ridiculing him and saying, you old man, you know, you want to make money off us. You know, you want to make money off the school. And he said to them, my children will not benefit from this school because a lot of them have already they're no longer in primary school. And eventually, the people, you know, the people agreed. And they sunk their own money. This is my, and these are people that were in their late 40s, you know. They sunk money into that venture. And all they could afford to build was one school block. And so they started off with one school block. And that's going back now 20, 25 years ago. And so they built that one school block. And they had kids now who were obviously attending the school. And we went back in 2015 after they hadn't been back for nearly 20 years. And what we saw was that other people had come along and had added other classroom blocks. And most importantly, they were saying that this is just no longer about primary school. We're now going to be next year, which was the following year, 2016, we're going to be starting a high school. Over there, we've been given land by the council to start building a high school block. Over that 20 years, many people have come. Many kids have come through that school. But most importantly, other people have come in. They've done their part. They've added their 2 cents. And so we were meeting, and they were having a church service on a Sunday, and we were meeting in one of the classroom blocks. And to make things, you know, God is amazing that another church was also holding a service at the same time in another classroom block. And so previously, where churches had to be done either outside, church was within a building. You know, and I remember saying to the people that attended church that Sunday to say, is God not amazing that 23 years ago, people were meeting outside? And I said to them, God loves you guys because God saw you 20 odd years ago and he knew you'd be here today. And he said, guess what? I'm going to ensure that these people have got a place that they can come and they can worship. And this is why when I say that to God, that I have never met anybody like you, is that God is always thinking about tomorrow. And so the church is for those who are to come. And what we're doing today and what we'll do through our story, our future, is to ensure that there's going to be other men and women that come, other families that come to be blessed, because we're not inward looking. And so, when we do this over and above giving, there is no, do not feel any guilt or any compulsion, you know? And so what I would ask my brother is to hand out these cards. And you're going to take these cards. You're going to take the card, and if you're married, you're probably going to be asking your spouse, how much should we give? If you're not married, you're very lucky, you know. You don't have to ask anybody, you know. You can make your own mind up, you know. Even if you're a young person, because even our children are going to be giving into this offering. You know what the children's, what the Raquel and Amber decided was that the kids were going to sell some things, you know. I think they're going to bake something, biscuits, whatever. And they were going to sell them so that when it comes to the offering, they're not just giving money that their parents gave them. They're giving into this program money that they've earned. And what I would ask that you would do is to ask God and say, Lord, how much would you like me to give? And like that scripture that Andrew said, is that God loves a cheerful giver. What you're never going to hear me do, I'm never going to arm twist anybody to give. Twist your hand and say, you got to give. Or you hear me say that, I just feel right now that the Lord has said that there's two people that can give 10,000. You're safe, don't worry. I don't play like that. But we give because we know that our treasure is in heaven, and we are laying up treasures for ourselves. And because as far as heaven is concerned, there is a generosity that reflects God's nature, you know, and even that outperforms any share portfolio, you know, any increase in house prices. And so I would really, from the bottom of my heart, ask that you would take away, that you would carefully consider to give. And as you do, you will find that, just like in 2020, 55,000, there's still money coming in, by the way. On the 21st, I'll give you the full update because the year will have ended, you know. And so there are some pledges that we're expecting to come through. But God is faithful. You know, it might seem scary that you're going to decide on a certain amount, but you trust the Lord, and the Lord will come through. And so church is about those people that are far off. It is, and oftentimes I reflect on a gentleman by the name of Brother Lamech, who used to come to when I was in boarding school. He used to come and do scripture union with us. Back in those days, there was not necessarily youth groups, but there was scripture union. And how, I remember asking my, I got a WhatsApp group for all my school friends, and I said, is Brother Lamech still alive? Excuse me. Because you know what? I want to bless him for his faithfulness to God, because he is a vessel that was used so that today I'm standing here today. And so our story, our future, is about the impact that we will make in the generations. Just like it was for my grandparents, I asked my grandmother, she died 2 years ago, I said, do you have any regrets? And I was hoping she would say that I regret giving to the Lord, because she was not a rich woman. They were not rich. And my grandfather now, his mind is riddled with dementia, you know? But what they did leaves a lasting impact on me, that I can't help just reflect back on how good God is and say, there is nothing that we can do for God that is ever going to be wasted. And so this morning as we finish, you know, the band is just going to play. And remember, 21 March, we'll be taking up the pledge offerings for 2021. If you already have decided in your heart what you want to give, that's okay. You can just leave your card at the back, you know. So we'll go through the song, and then I'll just come and bless everybody. Mm-hmm.